how do you calculate the payoff profile of a call? So the payoff profile of an option is ST minus X, where ST is the price at time T and X is the strike price. Now, you only exercise the option if you would make something. If you're losing money, you would not exercise the option, right? But that is not reflected in this equation. So we need to fix that. So we fix that by taking a max of ST minus X and 0. So this is the payoff profile of a call ignoring the premium. The payoff profile for a put would be X minus ST. The strike price minus the spot price. So put max ST minus X minus ST, call max ST minus X comma 0. So now this gives you the money that you would receive, you would exercise the option. However, you're missing the premium. So with the premium, it'll be ST minus X minus P comma 0 and X minus ST minus P comma 0. Now the only problem here, if you put the P in, you're saying the option would not be exercised as long as you haven't crossed that threshold. That doesn't make sense. So then this would become max of ST minus X comma 0 minus P. Similarly, max of X minus ST comma 0 minus P. So if you were to value a call option, where would you start? How would you build a logic that would allow you to price the security? So you are long the expected future value of S. So you would not receive this for free. You have to pay something. What will you pay? You will pay the strike price. If I buy gold at a strike price of 1850, when the spot price is 1600, what does that mean? I have the right to buy gold at 1850, which I will buy if gold is higher than 1850. But if gold is not higher than 1850, then I'll not buy it. So I have two pieces. I have a piece when I'm long, which is the expected future value, and the second piece which I'm short, which is the strike price. Under what conditions would you use it? When would you exercise it? When this expected future value, or ST, as we're saying it, right? When ST is greater than X, we will exercise the option. If ST is less than X, we will not exercise the option. So now, if you were to then go out and price the option, your pricing formula will have two pieces. Pricing formula will have a piece which will say, what's the expected present value of ST, the amount that I'm likely to receive, less what's the present value of X. X is the strike price. However, you'd also say that when you look at this EPV, you'd say ST I will only receive when ST is greater than X. And PV of X I will only receive also when ST is greater than X. So you're saying the probability in this specific case of ST being greater than X is 1 by 2 in the expected value of ST. What's the expected value of ST now? Expected value of ST when we know, when we are given that ST is greater than X is 5, which is very different from expected value of ST when we don't apply this condition. The option will only be exercised if the value that you're looking at is larger than the strike price. The option will not be exercised. If the option is not exercised, you're not interested in the value. So we actually have two different calculations. So then the factor becomes, ST, which is what I bought, which is what I'm long, times a different probability, X, which is what I'll pay, times a different probability. So two different probabilities. The reason why we're spending so much time on this is that we're simply laying the groundwork for the Black-Scholes equation. This is a very basic, very important concept. What I'm trying to do is build a simple intuition, and that intuition is, from a pricing point of view, what would your pricing formula do? Your pricing formula will have two pieces. In one piece, I'll say, what will I get? What will I receive? Second piece, I'll say, what will I pay? The second piece is easy, because second piece only says, I will pay X. I'll just do a PV on that, right? I'll only pay it if st is greater than x. But this piece is more complicated, because this piece is now getting conditional, saying, listen, I will only receive this if st is greater than x, otherwise I won't. So the first leg in our calculation is here, and that is s naught into n of t1. S naught and d1 together is the expected present value adjusted for all probabilities of what we will receive if the option is exercised. Second piece, what will I pay? What will I pay as a buyer if the exchange happens? I will pay x, which is the strike price. Okay. When will I pay x? I'll only pay x if the option is exercised. The option will only be exercised if st is greater than x. Right? So I have a probability. It's a little different than the probability above, and this becomes n of d2. When will I make this payment? Not today, right? In the future, when the option is exercised. So then this becomes x into discounted, right? I have to discount this. E minus rt into n of d2. You put the two pieces together, you get Sn d1, what you will receive, minus xe minus rt n of d2, what you will pay, which is the value of a European call option. So that's the equation. S of n d1, PV of x of n d2. That's the value of a call option. So this equation right now, the way that you see it, is the value of a European call option on a non-dividend paying stock. That's what d1 looks like. So in statistics, you've done something called a z-score. Yes? How do you calculate a z-score? X minus mu by sigma. Sigma is standard deviation, right? Now, in the risk-neutral world and in the Black-Scholes model, we assume that sigma is proportionate to time. And we adjust it accordingly. We scale it accordingly. You know, more time, more sigma, less time, less sigma, right? So in the risk-neutral world, sigma is always given by sigma into square root of time. Why square root of time? Because your annual return is what? Annual return is mu into time. What's your variance? Your annual variance is sigma square into time. So if you take the square root of this, you want the standard deviation. You don't want the variance. You want the standard deviation of volatility. What would you do? Do under root of this. This then comes out, and the t is stuck inside. So the volatility, the standard deviation, the sigma in the risk-neutral world of a financial security is sigma under root t. Now the second piece is, in the risk-neutral world, what is the expected return? What is the probability of the option being exercised? What is the probability that st is greater than x? St will only be exercised if st is greater than x, which means s naught, which is the current price, has to move to a number higher than x. So we say, okay, x over s naught. How high is the jump? If the strike price is 1750 and gold is at 1600, x over s naught is the return, is the size of the jump, is the move that's required, right? The expected return in the risk-neutral world is r minus half sigma square and adjusted, scaled for time. So you're simply saying, take the jump, minus r minus half sigma square t, divided by sigma square t, and you should have your number. So all you're doing is, when you do ln s over x, all you're doing is, what's the size, what's the jump? You've done ln s over x, right? If I flip the signs and change the signs for d2, I can actually reproduce that calculation. And that calculation effectively, in essence, is simply comparing the jump that is required for the option to be exercised compared by the expected return over the same time frame. And then dividing it by volatility to estimate how big the jump is in z-score terms, and using that to calculate the probability. So for example, let's say strike price is 100, spot price is 50. What's the return that's required? 2, right? Prices need to double. Now, volatility, sigma square, is 50%. Time is 1 year. R is 10%. If you do the ND of 4.3, the probability is going to be about less than 0.1%. So if prices are at 50, so now let's go out and actually build the exact calculation, the exact formula in Excel. All right, so the values that I want, that I need as input, which are my basic parameters, which is what you're going to use, is we're doing oil, and the formula that we're using, but let's not do oil, I think let's just do simple, let's do Google. So Google share price is 500. All right, so the spot price at time zero is 500. The time to maturity is 1. The strike price is 650. The volatility or standard deviation or sigma is 25%. The risk-free rate is also 0.25%. So one is 25%, the other is 0.25%. Okay, so our formula is, that's our formula. All right? So what we need to do, we need to calculate the present value factor, which is E minus R. PV factor is EXP minus R, which is the risk-free rate, into time, which is here, 1.9975. All right, now let's calculate the value of D1. So spot, time, strike, vol, and risk-free, and the value of PV factor is F2. Okay, so now calculating D1. For calculating D1, you need a few pieces. The first is ln S by X. The second is R plus half sigma square, right? The third is sigma into under root T. So what you need to do now is simply put this together. This is N of D1. It's simply norm S dist of D1. You also need D2. D2 is simply D1 minus sigma under root T. So D2 is D1 minus sigma N of D2 plus norm S dist. So we now have values for both ND1 and ND2. Just apply the formula and calculate the value of the call option. Now the value of the call option is, what will I receive? There are two pieces. What will I receive? What will I pay? What will I receive? SND1 if the options exercise. What will I pay? What will I pay? I will pay PV of X. I will pay PV of the strike price. The net value is 10.9398.